Today on Real Radio.
The Christian experience is a battle. None of us will ever go anywhere in our Christian experience, ever, until you realize that we are in a battle. And some of you, you don't battle anything. You're not really warring in the spirit, but you're a Christian. And the sad thing is, for some Christians that don't realize that we're fighting, you're standing up and there's Scud missiles flying and jets flying by in the spirit world, and you're like, what's going on, man? Totally oblivious to what's happening. And you're going to get shot right in the keister if you don't duck down and get into the war. And so the vital thing is, Paul is beginning to speak to Timothy. Hey, you therefore, Timothy, you be strong.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy, and we're about to look at the first 7 verses of chapter 2. New Testament letters are rife with analogies, farming and agricultural analogies, sometimes medical analogies, and certainly those of first century customs and culture. Well, among these, Paul uses military analogies to get his points across to the reader. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs beginning a mini-series called The Disciplined Soldier.
Why don't you turn right now in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, as we continue our study together. And this very precious letter that Paul has penned to dear Timothy. And you know, all of us approach the scriptures in many different ways. Some of us at times approach it rightly, and some of us at times approach it in a haphazard way, not really taking into consideration just what's going on. As we considered this message for this weekend, it just blazoned in my heart again and afresh that as we come to this letter, we're snooping in a way. We're probing into something that the Holy Spirit has allowed us to study nearly 2,000 years later, yet we must understand that this letter was written from Paul to Timothy. It's a private note. He will say to Timothy, share these things that I'm teaching you among faithful men. He will encourage through Timothy other ministers to be godly and walk upright before the Lord and the people of God. But nowhere does he say, Timothy, now bundle this up and preach it in every town that you travel in. Share it among the brethren. It's a personal letter of encouragement from Paul to Timothy, and we do very well if we heed the things that are written in it. And as we've been coming through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we're very aware that we, like Timothy, need boldness in our lives. We need commitment in our lives to follow Jesus Christ. And I think the church in the world today is so much without commitment, without a tenacity to be committed to the Word of God. We see that in many movements and many things and in many ways. Paul also encourages us to be careful that we do not deny the Lord in our ministry and in our lives as servants of His. And he's also been warning us that the Christian experience is much like a warfare, a battle zone. And you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of preconceived notions I had in my mind concerning the ministry have been totally shattered. This letter will reveal to us specifically this morning that there are things that go on behind the ministry, scenes that we're not aware of. There's physical problems. I used to have no problem sleeping. Now it's a big problem. I used to go to bed at around 10 and get up at around 5:30 or so. If I could do that now, I would be happy. Even when you have the time to sleep, the Lord awakens our hearts in the night to pray. about conditions that are going on with you. Then there's pressures in the church. There's wolves that come in, and that keeps me awake more than anything when I find out somebody is coming in while this church is young and new. And they're preaching damnable, actually not preaching, they're whispering damnable heresies. And that comes to my attention. And my guts begin to churn, and I begin to look and search and probe for your protection, for the work of the Lord that He's established here. And so that troubles our hearts, that pains our souls as we begin to see that the work of the Lord is being challenged by the false brethren. And Paul experienced this attack. Then there's things that come upon us emotionally. I do not understand it. I can have my act totally together. I can come up here and go over all of these scriptures and be totally collected and be fine. And then look out there, and the moment the Lord's pressing something upon my heart about eternity and heaven or hell, and I'll look and I'll see a face that is asleep or dead. And I know they're not saved. I know they're lost. And the reality of what is burning in my heart comes maybe in a deficient way across to that hearer, and my heart breaks. And just between you and I want to grab them by the ears. And I want to say, don't you see? Don't you understand? You could die today. And emotionally, our hearts get racked with the reality of heaven and hell. And I think a true minister, you, a true Christian minister in Christ, you're thinking about eternity all the time. It's not some flippant thing that passes through your mind. We're preparing for heaven. And so the ministry is something that is very taxing. And then the spiritual reality of it all. The Bible tells us that we're warring against demonic forces and satanic hierarchy, and yet we cannot see them. And so Paul allows us to see this morning a little bit behind the scenes, and he gives us people a very key lesson. And if you're taking notes this morning, this message is one that is directed entirely to the disciplined soldier of Jesus Christ. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul begins to write this to dear Timothy, and he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must first be partaker of the crop. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things," is what Paul is saying. First of all, people, in verse 1, he begins to open our hearts up to a very key and vital issue. If you are going to be a minister of Jesus Christ, now, this is my motive. Timothy's written to pastors. You might say, "I'm not a pastor." You know what? You are a pastor. If you're a father of a home here, if you're a daddy, you're a pastor of that house. If you're single and you don't have a wife or a home, you need to be preparing your heart as a minister. If you are a single mother, you have the incredible, impossible task of pastoring your home, being dad and mom. And if you're a mother that has a husband there and a beautiful, happy home, you, mom, you, wife, have the home that will produce a godly environment. All of us are accountable to this portion of Scripture this morning. You, therefore, wherever you are in your existence, Christian, he says, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Christian experience is a battle. None of us will ever go anywhere in our Christian experience, ever, until you realize that we are in a battle. And some of you, you don't battle anything. You're not really warring in the spirit, but you're a Christian. And the sad thing is, for some Christians that don't realize that we're fighting, you're standing up and there's Scud missiles flying and jets flying by in the spirit world, and you're like, what's going on, man? Totally oblivious to what's happening. And you're going to get shot right in the keister if you don't duck down and get into the war. And so the vital thing is, Paul is beginning to speak to Timothy. Hey, you therefore, Timothy, you be strong. Why does he say be strong? Because we're weak. We need his strength because we are weak people. We need the Lord. And if God told Timothy in this writing here through Paul 2,000 years ago to be strong, how much more do we need strength this morning? Be strong in the armament, in the power, in the pomp and glory. No, in the grace. Grace is that word that means unearned favor. Be strong in unearned favor. He speaks to us that in the time of battle, it is the grace that will sustain us. Now, Jude says that concerning this grace, concerning the goodness that God brings to us for the Christian battle, there will be those who will be enemies to it. So, number one, people, we need to stand up and get girded about with grace. Why? Because Jude tells us, for certain men have crept into the church unnoticed, who have come in to really turn the grace of God into sin. So grace is going to be attacked. One of the greatest ways today to attack grace in the Christian church is by legalism. The number one way is for a church or for you or for I to become legalistic. It quenches grace. It destroys grace. Nobody is encouraged to continue in Christ under legalism. You'll die. You'll dry up. Do this, do that. And it becomes a bunch of do's and don'ts, and you become very rigid. And what happens in reality? You become extremely religious. Grace is the only thing that promotes you into a personal walk with Jesus. Grace alone. And it will give you the strength to continue in the fight. Oh, Timothy, you need grace, man. You need grace. Now, me personally, I was a very legalistic man when I came to the Lord. I fought grace. I'd see my pastor walk up there and talk about grace, 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 and I used to rebel against grace. And it took me becoming totally defeated and bummed out to now, as I do today, I look for grace at every moment. Unearned favor. I can't do anything for it. I can't pray harder for it. I can't study my Bible more. I can't be a better Christian to get grace in my life. It's impossible. It's unearned favor. It's given freely by God. But you see, there are those who have crept into the church, Jude says. They're creeps. They creep in. They're creepers. Why? To steal away the grace from your life. Oh, do you really think that you're saved by believing? Well, you've got to be baptized. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, you've got to give money. The Bible doesn't say that. You are justified freely by his grace, having faith in Christ, the Bible says. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but this occurred because false brethren secretly brought in. They came into the church, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into legalistic bondage, to whom we did not yield or submit for even 1 hour, Paul says, that the truth of the gospel might be brought to you. Don't yield to legalism. It'll destroy your walk. It's grace. And you know what I do personally? Because all of us want to draw closer to Jesus, but we don't want to be legalistic about it. What do? We come and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, cover, fill my life with grace. Lord, that leads me to obedience in Christ. Let grace lead you into obedience, not some pastor, not some group leader, not some ministry that whips you and says, are you giving? How's your giving this week? Are you praying? Fill out the prayer card. How many times were you in prayer this week? Hey, that's garbage. It's by grace. And so there will be attackers. Paul says, Timothy, you therefore be strong in the grace. Why? You will never become victorious outside of grace. And this word where he says, be strong in the grace, it actually means in the Greek, be being strong, stronger. Be increasing in grace, in Christ, he says. Your walk ought to become more beautiful, more healthy, more valiant, Timothy, as you grow in grace, which is in Christ Jesus, he says. Now, there's some interesting things and very vital things that we should understand. You must recognize as Timothy, first of all, the position. The position of grace is brought in Christ. It is grace, notice in verse 1, in grace that is in Christ. Number one, recognize you need it. I need it. You will never walk right outside of grace. And how do we know that? In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, the Bible tells us, but now, Paul says, it is no longer I who do it. Talking about his life that he was living, struggling as a Christian. For I know that it in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present within me to perform that which is good, but I don't wind up doing it. You ever felt like that? Really? No, maybe it's just me. I guess it is me in this room. Maybe I'm the only one that feels like this. You, back there. Somebody give her a prize. I want to do good. I want to do right. I want to follow the Lord with all my heart. And the moment I launch out on a venture, I wind up getting my foot stuck in my mouth. Or I see you and I want to bless you. I want to say something that's a blessing and I wind up saying something stupid. And I get angry with myself. Oh, God, why did I do that? Lord, I wanted to say this. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Or you grab your Bible and you head off to the mall. I'm going to share the Lord today. And you got a good thing in your heart. Man, it's good. Oh boy, here comes a poor, unsuspecting, lost sinner. I'm going to reach him. And you walk up there and you just kind of, the tongue falls out and you say something stupid and you blow it. And you, oh God. Or on your way to witness to the man, some lady cuts you off in a stroller and you get all upset. On your way to do good, you blow it. How do you overcome that as a Christian? What do? Do you do what most Christians do? I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged now. And we take out our chain. You know that chain like you see the people in Mecca and as the Muslims once a year, they beat themselves for their sins. Christians do that. Oh, I blew it. How could I do that? And we begin to flog ourselves for a whole week. Bad Christian, I can't believe I did that. Look, believe it. The fact of the matter is, we're trusting in our flesh when we blow it. And we get disappointed. We're going to blow it. Does that mean we just say, well, you know, I'm going to blow it, so why try? No, a Christian can't think that way. The Christian sets his sight on Jesus, and with all of our might, we strive to meet the Lord in holiness. There's nothing we'll settle for, anything less than holiness. That's all we want, is to be godlike. And we love the Lord, and we want to please him and bless him. And right in the moment, sin enters in, and we blow it. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? The fact of the matter is, people, we will flog ourselves and become disappointed and discouraged with our performance as a Christian because we've got our eyes on ourselves. We need to have our eyes on grace. Let me put it this way. Did you get bummed out this week in your Christian existence, your performance? In all reality, you shouldn't have, because Paul says in Romans 7, 18, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Let me put it like this. Did you have great expectations of maybe winning the world over? What about sharing with your boss and you blew it and now you're disappointed and bummed? Don't trust in your flesh. It's by grace, you see. It's by grace that you have the opportunity to share with somebody. It's by grace that you are able to come here this morning. It will be by grace that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. It will be by grace that you understand this message. It will be by grace that I deliver it to you. It's all by grace. Unearned favor. You got saved because of God giving you the unearned favor of his love and his attention. You cannot earn grace. You cannot buy grace. We need to stop becoming disappointed and discouraged because we need to trust in his grace. And every time, now I'm talking to myself because I experienced the greatest lows of disappointment. When I get disappointed and bummed out, every time I'm down because of a breach in my walk, it's because I was trusting in myself to do better. Isn't that right? Maybe I'll do better next time. I do that with the messages all the time. Maybe I'll do better next time. And God convicted me so much. It's by grace, Jack. You study to show yourself approved unto God, and the rest is my business. And it is for you. Oh, maybe I'll do better next time. No. Oh, Lord, give me your grace. And pick up the pieces and go. We need to stop flogging ourselves. Now, the other thing, after recognizing, the next thing we need to do is realize that grace is our strength. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to realize, first of all, that there are armaments and there's equipment that we can use against the enemy. And there's things that we cannot do. We are very limited as Christians. Recognize that God is your strength, absolute strength. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11, he says, "For I am the least among the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." But, you see, he almost went into the flogging mode. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. But, all of a sudden his heart turns upward and he goes, but, wait a minute, wait. But, by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored the more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Therefore, what? Therefore, what? Therefore, because of the grace that's working in us as believers, he says in verse 11, "Therefore, whether it was I or they who preached, you believed." It doesn't matter. It's by grace. I used to persecute the church. How many of us this morning used to persecute the church? Stupid Christians. Oh, here comes some more Jesus freaks.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Disciplined Soldier. And we'll continue with more of this mini-series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.